our fathers teach us what we should become. This is the thought for today with Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing. Our fathers teach us what we should become. That's very interesting. And tomorrow, or in the next one, we will have our mothers teach us what we are. But our fathers teach us what we should become. Theoretically. If our fathers are home long enough to teach us anything, they teach us what we should become. They teach us to be honest. They teach us to have integrity. They teach us to live in the world and cooperate with the world and enjoy the world and get great benefits out of being in the world. Now, this is all fine and dandy. And this is necessary for a human being. But the one thing the Father doesn't teach what we should become is to teach, I guess that's what Mama's going to do next, is to teach what we are. Now, theoretically, the Father teaches us our heritage. He teaches us that we are out of this race or that culture or that lifestyle, and that these things are important for us to understand, to get along in the world. And normally we think of the mother teaching us to get along in the world, and the father just teaching us specific things that are necessary to get along, like how to be a better person physically, mentally, and not necessarily spiritually, but physically and mentally, to cooperate with the world's program. How can we benefit from what our fathers teach us or taught us? How can we benefit from these things that have been given to us as a tradition coming on down, as the Jewish people teach tradition, tradition, tradition. But they're not alone. They're not alone by a long shot. And tradition is true in every culture. It's true in every race, in every creed, in every background, because tradition is what life is made out of. Now, there's a great argument going on, and it has been going on for a long, long time, about whether we evolved as human beings by natural selection and so forth into the wonderful beings we are today, or whether we were born direct, perfect, fantastic, as the beings that we are. Now, there are many people who like to teach us that we had evolution. And basically, that's the male aspect, evolution. And they fight for the evolution aspect. And they say that unless one understands evolution, one does not understand how life evolved and how life came forth on the earth. And great tomes, great books have been written about the evolution, how we at one time were creatures of the sea, and we came out of the sea, and we walked on the land, and that we were animals, we were lizards, we were whatever these beautiful creatures were. And then as the millennia traveled along, some of these creatures began to stand on their hind legs. And these were acculturated into monkeys and into chimpanzees and into gorillas and into those things that they say are our ancestors. Well, then from there, they stood more upright, although the gorillas stand pretty upright, mm-hmm. And so the monkeys and all. But they show the early man is sort of hunched over. And of course, if you're saying the early man is a descendant of the gorilla and of the ape family, he shouldn't be hunched over. You know, some of them are hunched over, too. But I guess they have us descended from those who were hunched over. But then we come from that into the changing of the skull. And the skull grows big and small and tall and short. And beautiful things take place. And the development of man's ability to think, his ability to communicate, his ability to survive significantly improve as the skull changes according to the wisdom of the paleontologists, the archaeologists, all of these people who go into the field of ancient studies of fossil man. We certainly have no relics to really go by except the fossil man that is available to be seen, who has somehow survived the centuries of the tectonic plate movement and still is able to be seen as a being. Well, now, our teachers, our fathers teach us what we should become, and they say ever onward and ever upward, that we should continually look for a better way of looking at our life, a better way of looking at our world. We should continually build greater buildings and do all these things. And then there's another group. And this other group says, back to nature. The other group says, keep life simple. Don't be so complex. And then there's still another group. And that group says, you don't grow old as long as your mind is busy and active and interested in a lot of things. And then there's another group that says we should get excited about all the new technologies that are developing and incorporate them into our lifestyle and into our world. And this is the world of Papa. This is the world of Daddy. Our Father is teaching us what we should become. We should become greater and greater firemen, greater and greater servicemen, greater and greater inventors and thinkers and poets and painters and what have you. And that sounds noble. That sounds beautiful. But I would like to have you recognize in the words that I've given you so far this morning that virtually everything is in the outer. It's all in the outer. And that's fine. That's fine. Because the outer is where we think we are. And we want to become more in the outer than we are now. We look forward to the day when we can transplant brains and transplant the brain into a healthy young body that will allow the brain, the essence of the being, to continue ad infinitum in other bodies, you know, as time goes on, which is an interesting concept. However, this does have an ending to it. What we are taught to become, it does have an ending to it. Because as we grow older and as we find other things, our tendency is to start going within. It'd be nice if we start going within earlier in life, but we start going within as we age. And as we age, then we begin to look at our divinity. And we stop putting such great value on the outer, what our fathers have taught us that what we should become. We should become great in this and great in that and great in the other thing. But the fathers have a tendency to forget when they say you should become great, they're usually talking about something in the world. Now, just for a moment's thinking, what would you think about a great father? Someone who really cared about his family and their personal attention from him to be happy and joyous and harmonious. Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. What would you think about a father who would take time to be with his children, his family, his wife, and enjoy their company? Oh, my, that would certainly be quite desirable, wouldn't it? What do you think of a father who would teach his son to dream? What? That's not manly. That's not physically, you know, embodying the ideal of manhood. That's feminine. Well, what do you think of a father who teaches his son or his daughter or his family to love themselves? Oh, my goodness, how terrible. But Wouldn't it be nice if people would learn to love themselves? Oh, sure. But, you know, that's not the male role. See, and the male role teaches us what we should become. And what we should become is cooperative beings in a civilization. And that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that that happens to be the way we look at men, the way we look at fathers, that the role that we have given them to play. That's very unfortunate. Because in doing that, what happens? We go nowhere. Now, what happens when you leave this body? Go off in some other dimension of life or whatever. Do you take your great buildings with you? Do you take your great achievements in art and culture? Oh, well, but do you?
No.
Do you take the Sistine Chapel with you from dimension to dimension? Perhaps you do, perhaps you don't. I kind of believe that each dimension takes care of itself. And so now, here Michelangelo has moved on to another dimension. Does he take his skill with him on another dimension? Or was that skill to be demonstrated here, if he wanted to? See, is our genius to be demonstrated here? And whatever other dimensions or whatever other experiences our immortal life brings to us, we have no idea what it is. But I rather think that on other dimensions of beingness, we do not duplicate what we've done here. And nothing we have done here is significant or insignificant. Now that sounds silly, but nothing that we've done here is going to help us anywhere else, because we don't need help. We are living joyously each experience as it comes along. Now, if a person has amnesia, for instance, and they don't remember anything of the past, they know how to button their shoes and how to go to the bathroom, take a shower, and what have you, or at least they can be shown quite easily. What do they remember? What is in that adult's body, if you will, that has amnesia? They start out with a basically totally new frame of reference. They start out with a basically totally new direction for themselves. If they were an architect, they quite likely will not be an architect in their amnesiac condition. They will probably be something. Maybe they'll go into a business, they'll learn rapidly because they're alert, but quite likely not what they were. Now, why won't they be what they were? Because those are just physiological conditionings to the world in which we live. Now, if you are devoid, if you are bereft, if you are empty of any previous thought or experience, at this moment, you're born new, right this moment, are you going to try to live up to certain conditions you had in the past?
No.
You don't even know what those conditions are. You will probably look at the world right where you stand, and you'll say, oh, what makes me happy is to count telephone poles. That's a silly thing, isn't it? But children love to do that. They love to count telephone poles. There's no significance and no benefit from doing that, but they enjoy doing it. Children love to play games. What benefit is a game from one point of view? Is it going to make you a millionaire? Is that game, well, yes, it's going to develop skills within you, but the game itself is of no value. It is what the game trains you to do that is the value. But children love to play the game, not because what it trains them to do, because they don't know what it's going to train them to do. They play the game because the game is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, we get back to be yourself and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so far wandered away from being ourselves and having fun by going with what our father teaches us. What did the forefathers of the United States bring forth upon this world? A nation of peace, of harmony. A nation of freedom of speech, a nation of many freedoms. You see? Now, what does that mean? Well, every child is born with all those freedoms already. What we have done is to take those freedoms away by what our fathers teach us. They teach us limitation. They teach us, you must do this and you mustn't do that. And these are all limitations. Now, if our fathers were to teach us, listen to a divine voice within yourself and follow where it takes you. Follow where it leads you. Go with it and be dynamic and wonderful. Some fathers do teach that, and blessedly so. But the role, as we normally see it, of a father is to teach orderliness and law. And because of that, the benefit of the father is sort of limited. And yet, the benefit of the father is more predominant in culture than the benefit of the mother ever will be. When we stop going by the physical life of the world and go to the mental, spiritual life of the world, then we are unlimited. But so long as we go by what our fathers teach us, I'm not saying it's bad, and I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying that it's only the beginning. What made Jefferson great? It's not him following the law. It's a genius that flowed through him. What made Benjamin Franklin so fantastic? He just tried different things, and he experimented, and he loved writing, and he loved sharing his wisdom. And Jefferson loved sharing his wisdom. And Washington, he loved physical things. He had principles and morals outstanding, but he was a physical man. You see, these are the fathers of our country. Now, what are the fathers of your land? What was your grandfather like on either side? What was your grandmother like? What was your father like? What was your mother like? How much time did your father spend making sure that you understood what you were supposed to do in life? Very little. Very little. He was home in the evening, maybe, and you'd talk to him for a few minutes, and you'd be off to bed, and you'd see him in only a short time. And in the mornings, you didn't see him. Mm-hmm. And on Saturday and Sunday, he had his games that he liked to play, not including the family, but playing in the yard or going golf or doing whatever. And I'm not saying this in a negative sense. I'm just saying he had his own priorities. And we all do. We all do. Is one of your priorities training the dog? You see, if one of your priorities is training the dog, that takes time. Mm-hmm. That means you have to do it regularly, every day. Not only regularly, you have to do it momently. Because when the dog comes up to you at any time, you must always be the master. And if you're not, the dog knows it and takes advantage of it, and therefore your training is of no benefit. This is how it is with our fathers. They are the fathers of our nation, the fathers of our culture, the fathers of many things. But are they the father of the divine man in each of us? They could be. This is how the Bible tries to define them. But even there, the father was a terrible figure. Someone who demanded obedience, demanded everything perfect. So think about that. Think about it. It's not a matter of belittling our fathers, because they have done exactly what they were programmed to do. But it's a matter of taking the next step now, of taking whatever they have taught us and shown us and opened the doors to us, and realize that that's only the foundation upon which we're founding our spiritual life. So be ready for the awareness of your spiritual life. The awareness of your spiritual life is just as near as a little click, you know, just as near as that. And it's up to you to hear it, to listen, to flow with it, to enjoy it. Our fathers teach us what we should become. But if we become what our fathers teach us, we're going to be very human. And that's not a bad idea either. A better idea is to be divine. So think on these things. They lend quite a bit of ammunition for good thinking. I'm only sorry that my talk yesterday had been so garbled that when it came through on the internet, people couldn't hear it very well. And perhaps it was best, because I was speaking about our nation, I was speaking about the war, and I was speaking about the benefit of the war and the non-benefit of the war for the world, and how we are the masters, and we say, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. Not let there be, but there now is. And I reiterate this at this moment, because this is what Daddy would desire, but not what he'd tell you. Daddy would tell you, build up your munitions, build up your armor, build up your... And he's the warrior. You know that? And we want to get away from the warrior and get into the peacemaker. And so, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. We back up our government 100%, whatever it does, because we elected these people into office. But we are the ones who have to do our work and say, now there is peace on earth, and it began with me. I love you, and have a wonderful day.
I love you.